Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and as you know, I went to the Walt Disney Studio a lot. I heard all about D23 news, and the tickets go on sale tomorrow for the majority of D23 Gold members. You already know this. It happens tomorrow, but I just wanted to flag it up top because I am recording this right after I went. It was an absolute gas. I posted a bunch of videos about it. If you don't follow me on Instagram and TikTok, you should check it out there. It's just so nice to be like, oh, it's happening. Like, we are leading up to that big in-person event. Because the way I always feel about Disney fandom, it's kind of like we all go to school online. You know what I mean? Like, we all take our little high school or college courses online, and then sometimes we run into each other at the park, and sometimes we're all together every 2 years for D23. And it's just nice to know that, like, we will be in our safe space among Disney fans, finding out Disney news so very soon. It is April! It is literally April Fool's Day, no fools about it. And in August, we are going to be bombarded with news about TV shows, about movies, and most importantly to me, about theme parks and about cruises. So I absolutely cannot wait. And speaking of things I'm looking forward to, we finally got Scott Gustin on the podcast, which you'll hear about. He might have been on before. We don't know. And I'm too tired to go back and check because we at this point have 6 years of archives and I just don't want to go through them. I realized I have been hosting this podcast longer than I haven't been. In my career covering theme parks and reporting on Disney, I have had Very Amusing longer than I have not. Isn't that wild? I feel like we just started yesterday, but I guess when you think about it, it's been a lot of episodes. It's been a lot of work. We already have one Amusapalooza under our belts with more to come, TBD. But, I mean, not TBD, TBA, TB announced. We are currently determining and we will soon, not soon, listen, I'm not good at, we will eventually announce. Not eventually, not soon, somewhere right in the middle. Listen, this is why I'm not even going to talk about this. All you need to know is, one, make sure you are on top of D23 ticketing, which is tomorrow, and two, buckle up for a very, very fun episode. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone. Stick around. We have so much ahead with Scott Gustin. Welcome home. Are you a little sad to be off the Disney Adventure? Because it looked amazing.
I was back to back, and it's the first time I ever thought I needed to do back to back to back and possibly to back.
Wait, you did two of them?
We did. We did a 3-day and then the 4-day because, again, Adventure, huge ship, absolutely amazing, tons of stuff to do on board, all the characters and the shopping and just how big it is and the shows. Oh my gosh. I think I actually experienced the best dinner show I have ever seen on Disney Cruise Line, Hollywood Spotlight. It's set up like old 30s, 40s glam inside.
No!
And they have musicians, and then the characters come in. And then they go to tables.
So multiple characters?
Multiple characters.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you made it back and that you are at least awake enough to tell us about these major discounts, because I saw the news before we talked, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. Tell us everything about these Disney Cruise Line discounts.
Yeah, do you remember the last discount that came out? And I said, they've never done this before, and it's one of the best deals ever. Now we have kids sale 50% off the voyage fare. If you book by June 14th, so it's you got some time here, you get 50% off the voyage fare for up to 3 kids, ages, you know, because normally it's you know, 3 to 9. This is up to age 17 on select sailings with the purchase of 2 full fare guests in the same cabin. So if you have 2 adults that are paying full fare, you get up to 3 kids at 50% off. And that's available on select sailings and ships from October 1st, 26th to March 27th, 2027. I've seen them available on every ship except for the Adventure. There's not a better time to sail with DCL, especially because they are still running. All right, for those of us who don't have kids, they're still running that 25% off voyage fare for select sailings between April 2026 now and July. But you get that 25 or 20% off and up to 250 onboard credit at the same time. So if you've ever wanted to do a Disney cruise, now's the time to do it. And there's also, outside of these offers, you can find really great savings on sailings from San Diego and even Alaska. So if you were ever interested in doing Alaska and it's not part of these offers, they are still lower than they've ever been before.
Wow. Wow. And remember, crazy. Reaching out to Mousefan Travel is the best way to book this, because I say that as somebody who books cruises with Mousefan Travel, because parsing through these on your own is so annoying. You do not want to do it. Trust me. And so to have a professional who can really tell you which deal is best for you and how to save the most money is so helpful, and it costs you nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Thank you so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear what other deals you have later on in the show. Welcome back. Before we jump into this week's episode, I just want to let you know we are taking next week off for spring break. Ends up, I am learning firsthand what it's like when they just close the schools. They just close the schools and you're left to figure it all out. I know some parents out there are laughing, because let me tell you, this is my first experience with it since I've been a student, and I didn't realize that you just gotta pick up those shifts somehow. So my work week has imploded and we will be taking next week off. We will be back right after that, and hopefully this episode will sustain you until then. Our pal Scott Gustin is here today to discuss the goofiest theme park happenings of all time on this very special April Fool's episode. If you're unfamiliar with Scott Gustin, well, you probably don't have Twitter. That's the best way to put it. But Scott is kind of like the people's theme park journalist, confirming so many Disney facts and giving us the deets while also being truly hilarious online and very much involved in all things Diz Twitter. I've had the joy of working alongside Scott for a number of years now, and he's so much more than a guy on the internet who cares a lot about Disney. Or, as he described himself, a theme park journalist and a guy who always carries snacks. Because to me, he knows that's what he is. We were at Disneyland recently, and it was at the end of a media day, and I was so hungry, and he pulls out a granola bar out of his backpack and saves my life. And it's not the only time he's done that. I still remember at D23 years ago, we were waiting to go into a panel and he was like, oh, by the way, this is for you. And he pulled out a bag of Bucky's beaver nuggets. I had never been to Bucky's. I didn't know what these were, but he knew that my absolute obsession with caramel corn would make me fall in love with these. And he was right. I brought them home and Ben was obsessed with them. And then I finally went to Bucky's. And then I texted him and was like, I'm here, I did it. It was a very full circle moment and I was very happy about it. And those beaver nuggets like low-key changed my life a little. They really did. Anyway, we caught up with Scott right before he jetted off to Paris. Oh, wee wee. To basically just kind of laugh and commiserate about what this wild, weird job we both have is. But today, we are talking about the big boys, the absolute prank level goofs we've seen happen almost entirely in real time while covering these parks. So truly, who else would I call for today's episode? Who else would be a better choice to talk about the funniest moment of both of our lives that we experienced together? Nobody. We will explain each of the things we're discussing, because some of them were news to Scott. Again, shocking. But if you're looking for visuals or just a little more context, everything will be outlined in the show notes. So definitely head there for more info. And before we begin, we simply cannot discuss gaffes and goofs without shouting out internet archivist, a title I've decided he needs, Derek Bergen over at Touring Plans, whose annual Theme Park Turkeys feature is not only the highlight of the year, but what I use to fact check timeline details for a lot of these hilarious moments. Those Theme Park Turkeys will also be linked to in the show notes. And if you have never read the Theme Park Turkeys before, it deserves your dearest attention. Like, you need to check it out. Derek is a master, and it is a wonderful feature. I think that's it. Without any further ado, let's talk to Scott about these goofy, goofy moments in theme park culture history. Scott Gustin, welcome to
Hello.
Very Amusing.
Hi, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I texted you a few weeks ago because I had a full brain fart and was like, wait, this podcast has existed for 6 years and I've never thought to be like, do you want to come on it?
I'm glad to be here. I may have also thought that I've been on it too at some point, but
maybe you
that's
maybe
just because we talk. So I haven't, but I'd had the same thought. So,
well, in a way, the past 6 years have also felt like 40. Like, we've experienced a lot, as we're going to get into today. There's just been a
that
lot happening.
True. A lot.
But before we get into it, I would just love to know, because I actually have no idea, how did you end up in this line of work? Were you always a Disney person your whole life, or did you just kind of fall into it?
I was always Disney, but I went to college, tried to be a reporter, and literally within about an hour and a half of shadowing a television reporter, after having gone to school thinking that's what I wanted to do, I did it for like an hour and a half, and I was like, this is not what I want to do. My entire college path has just been blown up right in front of me. So I had a news path that I wanted to follow. I was always interested in digital and news. So I followed that side of the news business and then kind of crossed over into combining my interest with my job around COVID, when there was news every day about everything. So, and that, I mean, I was doing it before, but I kind of found an audience during a time when the news was not as fun and we weren't constantly just wanting to talk about rumors and all the fun side of the parks. It was suddenly like, are we ever going to get to go to the park again? So
many local government meetings that we were all tapped into and did like, we'll never again.
CF Todd, like I just hope we never have that whole thing be newsworthy ever again. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that's over.
Agreed. I never need to know about wastewater ever again.
I'll take it with the permits. When we're talking Villains Land, I'm okay then. But outside of that fun speculation, never again.
Wow. Well, we are all thrilled that you are here because I've never heard anyone say a single negative word about you. It is just like purely all love for Scott Gustin all over the place. Also, you exist as full name. You're never Scott. You are Scott Gustin. And there's nobody else I could be doing an April Fool's episode with besides you, because we are going to talk about the goofiest theme park happenings of all time. And I think we should just get started with my personal favorite, Kite Tales.
I didn't get to experience Kite Tales. So I lived it through you and others who saw it, but I did not get there in time to see it. So
I am pained. Okay, well, I'll give the intro for, I guess, you and everyone listening in case they didn't know. But a fever dream of a daytime presentation, Kite Tales was perhaps the best live entertainment to ever exist at Disney's Animal Kingdom, and I will stand by that. Bird show is great, but birds don't got anything on a kite. This waterfront show was only at Disney World for a year, October 2021 to September 2022, but alas, it was more than just a figment of our stir-crazy COVID imaginations. Don't call them jet skis! These Ski-Doo personal watercrafts allowed for the most majestic kites, fashioned in the likeness of characters like Simba, Timon, Pumbaa, and Baloo, that's really hard to say in a row, to float in the sky and then unceremoniously crash to the ground. The Discovery River Lagoon has not seen a show since, sad, leaving the waterfront expanse of Animal Kingdom as an oft-forgotten gravesite for our beloved show. Now, while you didn't see it yourself, you, I'm sure, saw coverage of this. And what did you think of those kites?
I loved the chaos of it. I loved it that Disney... I think my favorite part about it is that I know that there was a meeting somewhere where someone pitched this idea and they were like, yeah, we're going to do that. Like, we're going to have kites tied to jet skis and we're going to crash multiple times during the show. And that will be like the applause moment when that's the end of that kites moment. And everyone claps when it crashes into the water or into the, whether it's on purpose or not, into the stands. I mean, it's, I love a chaotic, like silly theme park thing. Not everything has to be serious. So I know there were some very, very hot takes on it. I just love the silliness of it. From a distance, it was enjoyable.
I just appreciate that Disney's character integrity team cares so much about every detail of every character. And then they were like, but what if they just collapse into a heap in front of our eyes all day? Just all day. And that was the highlight of the show, was just watching them just melt into a pile. And somehow it got approved.
Yep. Someone was like, yeah, let's do it. Yes, that is a wonderful, silly idea. I mean, I don't think we're talking about it today because this was a real offering, even though it felt like it was a joke. But the Rogers the Musical in Disneyland was also kind of just like, I'm just so happy that these things can get approved every once in a while. Like these just crazy, silly moments, like bottled up in time. I love it.
I mean, I am running for mayor on the platform of Reopen the Hyperion. Like, that is really what I'm fighting for. So Rogers was great while we had it there. But that also felt like chaotic good. This just felt like chaos. It was just nuts.
That's fair.
And when I was reading back up on it, just to honestly confirm it actually happened, I was refreshing my memory on Tom Brecker's website, which is like a living encyclopedia of all things. And he reminded me that Disney World's 50th anniversary entertainment, by the time they closed this, they were 0-3. They closed Disney Enchantment, they closed Harmonious, and they closed Kite Tales. All of them are defunct.
I mean, yeah, that is kind of wild to think about. None of them managed to stick around. But, I mean, even though they weren't specifically said to be part of the anniversary, this wasn't like the 50th Kite Tales show, so it probably was intended to stick around a little bit longer than just the anniversary. But some of those limited run, like anniversary things, I'm okay with them just being there and then going away. We don't need a Paint the Night, you know, type fans demanding that it come back. But I mean, I don't know, Kite Tales, maybe they'll live to fly once again.
It really brought an energy. I know. It was just so nice to have, because there's rarely entertainment that is, and I mean this as a compliment, stupid fun. It was stupid fun. It was just fun. It was pure fun. You never laugh at a live show like that. And we just got to giggle and watch these characters crash. And it was fantastic. I hope they bring it back just purely so that you get to see it with your own eyes. The next goofy theme park thing we are talking about is NBA Experience, Scott.
Oh, man.
NBA Experience. Now, this was an homage to basketball at the cross-section of theme parks, which kind of seemed like it would make sense. You know, if you like Disney and sports, which so many do, you could go here. But in the end, it just really did not come together. Scott and I experienced this 44,000 square foot homage to all things basketball together, which we will get into. We were at the opening preview of it. But it was a short-lived experience at Disney Springs that did not reopen after the pandemic, which I think stinks, because I think this could have had a successful future. I'm really kind of like an NBA Experience truther. It seems like it should have worked. But sometimes, you know, when you and your business friends collaborate, it works great. See the NBA bubble at Disney World. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't it cool when that guy ran his coffee shop out of a room at the Grand Floridian and then they brought in all those big mattresses because the men wouldn't fit in the beds? But other times, you know, there's the other side of the coin, which is NBA Experience. It operated for 7 months. It cost $34 for adults, $29 for kids. And I had a blast there. How about you?
Probably the opposite take here. It was kind of struggling with attendance even before COVID. I think it was a hard thing for them to define what it was. I will say, like, being in there was fine and fun. I think it was just a hard sell to get people in the door, paying any kind of admission there that was not included with their ticket. But it was just a terrible idea. It was just terrible.
Not a truther. Okay.
The execution was better than the idea, I would say. Like the same meeting that we talked about where they approved Kite Tales, there was also a meeting where they like approved this. And I feel like the Imagineers that actually did work on it, like, did about as much as you could do with such a siloed like idea, where everything has to be gamified and you're kind of limited with what you could do. It was fine, but I am glad that it's gone. The opening, like, I have never seen so many like famous people, mostly basketball, obviously, but just so many freaking people at this event. Like, everybody, every single person that ever did anything with Disney and NBA was at that thing. And if you were there, you were like, man, this is like the dedication of like the rededication of the Great Wall of China or something. Like, this is a major moment in history, is what you would think looking around. And then it could even make it through COVID. But
I had a similar experience at the opening, because I feel like I remember there wasn't that much media. Like, it wasn't that,
no,
it was a small group of us.
The media was not big. It was everything else.
And like, listen, if there's something new in Florida, I'm coming. Like, I'm getting on a plane. And so I was there, but I had a similar experience to you where I looked around and was like, wow, except that because I don't know a single one of these men, I just looked around and went, oh my gosh, everyone is tall. Like, I felt like a little frog on the forest floor surrounded by giants. And I did not know who any of them were. And I think I remember asking you, I remember I was texting photos of men to my husband to be like, who is this man? And he'd be like, you're an idiot. Like, what do you mean? It's so-and-so. The only person I recognized was, is his name Adam Silver? Is that the Bob Iger of sport?
Yep. Adam Silver and Iger both yes, there.
I remember that. But it truly was like a who's who of people that are who's to me. And they were all so tall. And I was doing like pop a shot all day. That's kind of all I remember, is like trying to throw a basketball and not knowing a single thing about sport. But I had a blast.
Yeah. It was a interesting little moment in time with that. I don't know what was learned from it. I don't know. They'll probably make a similar mistake at some point in the future when you have a CEO or someone very high in the company that just says, like, we should do this. And they just like, all right, we're doing this. It's not like Iger did that then and has done it again with Avatar, where he just decided we need an Avatar experience. And then everyone else is like, okay, I guess we got to figure this out at Disneyland. But, you know, it was not a shocker when it didn't come back. I certainly didn't mourn it as much as it sounds like you did. But
I think I just love the big brand of it all, where I'm like, two brands together. Like, I don't know about you. I don't know if you have any of the merchandise from the, I think the store was good. I think the store was good. They had Mickey stuff for every single team, which I think is great. I noticed last night I was going to bed. My husband was filling up a cup that he uses for water that I never clocked. It is next to his bed every night. It is the cup that I got at the NBA Experience opening. This relic is truly like one of the only items in our bedroom. It is a part of our lives, and it will never leave us, because NBA Experience, I think it could have been good.
I can't even picture a single piece of merch that I even remember.
Really?
I mean, I kind of remember what the logo looks like. That's about it. It was like
they had, I don't know how to pluralize Tervis, Tervi. They had Tervises, and then they were like Mickey Mouse bloop, for like NBA Experience, and I think they had them for every single team. I think. Wow. Yeah. They should just get the store open.
And the thing that's replacing it, I was actually just thinking about it, that level 99 today. I haven't heard much on it in a while. But I think maybe I'm hoping for your sake that once it opens, it will allow you to say, you know, be at peace with losing it. Because I think what's going to go there will be better if it ever opens. So
nothing could beat NBA Experience. NBA Experience forever. A man taught me basketball there. I will forever herald it. Next up on the goofy list is, listen, I don't like to clown on the company when they don't deserve it. Clearly, I love NBA Experience. This was so insane that we can't help but make fun of Disney for it, because two words, Scott, Plant Donald.
I don't know what this one is.
What are you talking about? Plant Donald. When they replaced Donald with the plant, put a sombrero on him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I do remember that. So this was the one where I was like, on the list of topics, I was like, I'm just going to have to find out. Was this like a Epcot topiary gone bad or something?
No.
Yes. No, I do remember the failing Donald animatronic. And then someone was just like, guys, all we have is a bush. Like, are we good with a bush? Are we good with a plant? Sorry, Donald. Man.
Yep. Well, the story goes back even further, which I forgot. So for those who also are like, what is this woman talking about? Grand Fiesta Tour, the boat ride in Epcot's Mexico Pavilion, typically doesn't draw too much attention, but it is hosted by Donald Duck, Panchito, and Jose Carioca, which I think I said correctly. And the three appear throughout this ride, but most notably to this tale as audio animatronics. So summer 2020, you know, good vibes all around. Everybody's having a blast. Out of nowhere, and this is separate from Donald Duck, this is leading up to it, Jose one day, oop, was no longer there. And in his place was a handful of flowers tossed on the floor. Just like a small pile of flowers, like a gravesite where his animatronic once stood. But shortly thereafter, he came back and all was well again until about 5 months later, when Donald Duck had quacked out for a moment. And in his place was not just a plant, but a plant wearing a sombrero, as though you could possibly think that that was Donald Duck. And it was removed, but this moment lives on in infamy. It was like, this was maybe one of the best times to ever be on Disney Twitter when it was at its height, because everyone went crazy.
It grew on me. Man, but just now looking at the photos, there's so many angles of this plant with the hat on it. How long? I mean, when you were looking at, how long was it? How long was it there? Like a week or?
I think, oh God, let me see. I don't know. I think a few days later, I'm looking at my notes and I wrote it was removed about 2 years later. So I'm pretty sure that's days. I don't think it was there for 2 years. It was removed a few days later, but I just remember, like, it was the only thing happening. Like, everyone was dialed in being like, what do you mean there is a sombrero on a plant and we're supposed to think it's a character?
What a moment. That's wonderful.
Do you remember where you were when you saw it? Do you remember how you felt?
I don't. I feel like, I don't know. I may have even missed the bulk of this. Because I feel like there were so many layers or waves of all of this. Like, they were the cutouts for a bit. And then
the cutouts. I forgot about the cutouts.
See, I remember the cutouts, I think, more than I remember the plant.
Does electrical just not work in the Mexico Pavilion? Like, what is happening where all these things just keep getting replaced by flowers and plants? The cutouts make sense. Like, you put a picture of the character there.
Yeah.
But who was the person who went, the plant just doesn't suffice? We just gotta, just put a little hat. Just put a little hat.
And he can't just be missing. We need a plant, and then we need a hat on it.
That's what's so funny to me. It could absolutely be missing.
Yeah, just be missing. Just be missing.
It would be missing and it would be fine. And everyone would know, oh, it's not here. It's probably broken.
It's just, this is wonderful.
Scott, I have this like conspiracy deep in my brain where, you know, when like a celebrity gets a drastic haircut to distract from plastic surgery, I am convinced that the Walt Disney Company did this because they wanted us to ignore something else, but I can't figure out what the something else is. Because if you put a plant with a sombrero in a ride, all of us who love to dig for news are going to be focused on Sombrero Donald. Like, we're not going to be thinking about anything else. So I wonder what else happened that they buried that day.
I like the conspiracy. I would even say another possible one is someone just wanted attention and funding for them to properly update and maintain the animatronics. Someone was doing some next level 3D chess and saying, let's just put out the most ridiculous thing come up with. They landed on plant.
Wait, that's a genius.
I mean, it would be a good way. I mean, if I worked at Epcot, and there's a lot of things that I would love to make go viral, I would, you know, if I'm the guy that really wants funding for them to finally fix the lighting in Epcot and the flooring, then I'll just put a plant on one of those broken trippable lights. Just put a plan on it.
Is that your big cause, the lighting on the floor? Not, that sounded judgy, but I'm right there with you. I want it back. Is that your big thing that you're into?
I think I'm to the point where I just don't understand it. Like, I think it could come back tomorrow and it probably would not really change my life that much. It was really pretty and it was really awesome to see it when it was working. But it's more just like, why can my neighbor figure this out? Like, why do every Christmas I see the craziest LED displays on homes and Epcot cannot figure out how to do basic LED? Like, it's not just the flooring. Like, the LED lights at the front of the park are not always working. They go around the entrance. All of that's like, I don't know what the contractor that they used or the company, but I'd like to know so that I know not to use that same company, whatever the name of it is, when I go buy my lights for Christmas and they work, and somehow they can't figure this out there. I mean, it's baffling. And it's just that it's more of my thing now because I just don't understand. I just don't understand.
You're right. It doesn't make sense that it doesn't work. It should work.
Like, we replaced the faces of Anna and Elsa on the Frozen ride, and we can't get an LED strip to illuminate. Like, what is happening? What is that? And I know there's this return on investment, blah, blah, blah. Like, all of that, fine. It's LED strips in the ground. And here we are.
There's got to be something we could cut or something we can charge more for to get this covered. There's got to be.
I mean, I put a pretzel stand right there next to it. And then, like, whatever you sell will pay for it.
Yeah,
in a week.
With lit up like blue and green dip with a glow cube.
Yep. They can make an arrow in the ground that points to the pretzel stand. Like, whatever we need to do. It is one of those silly, baffling things that I get hyper focused on sometimes, because it's just screams frustrating mismanagement of something, either a budget or the ability to properly invest in the basic things that, you know, everyone else, including around Christmas, has figured out, except for stand up.
Wait, what are your other top Gustin gripes?
Oh, man. I think we have to keep going through the list.
Okay.
And I'll probably pop a couple more will pop in, because I had not thought about Epcot lights at all today until this moment.
This is like me. The Hyperion Theater comes up every day for me mentally. I just can't shake it.
Hyperion is one for me too. Like, I know I was joking about Rider's musical, but that, I mean, they use the Hyperion Theater to audition and get ready for the Blue show, which they then move to a tiny venue in Disneyland Park, and it was overcrowded, and they had to change the entire way that was presented on opening day.
Well, listen,
I'm
not going to hold opening day against them, because I had a blast when I went, when I saw it in its true form. It was amazing. I liked being outside, but I think we can have both, team both. I think we can have a musical in the Hyperion, and we can have something in Fantasyland Theater.
Absolutely. It's more, I don't think Bluey in there is a good idea there. I like Bluey where it is, but it's more of just like, clearly enough people want to come to shows.
Yes. We want to sit.
They want to sit and enjoy. So, like, put something else in Hyperion. Put something way better that has an actual show that you would want to sit and watch. But it's just like, it throws an egg on the idea that has been kind of tossed around, that people at some of these theme parks think that experience, that type of theater experience is on its way out. Kind of like, I don't know. Like, people were lining up ready to sit and watch not really even a show. Like, they were sitting and watching an interactive experience.
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity. But,
yeah, I mean,
more gripes coming, I'm sure.
I agree. Because I have a child and heat stroke. So yeah, I would love a show.
Yes.
I absolutely love to sit. We are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to come back with the number one thing I want to discuss with Scott. So stick around. There's a lot of philosophies out there telling you how you should pack for a trip. Ooh, a capsule wardrobe. Ooh, patterns that function as basics. No, I am done with people telling me what to wear, because I'm doubling down on a new kind of travel philosophy. I'm just gonna wear whatever I love wearing at the moment. Is my suitcase a little chaotic? Maybe to an outsider, but I am blissfully happy once I get to my destination, because I have the wacky dress, the unexpectedly fancy outfit, and the casual comfies I crave when I crave them. And there is nowhere else I need to go to make those looks possible but Quince. No matter what you're looking for, Quince has the essential pieces to make your wardrobe sing. The fabrics are elevated, the fits are flattering, and everything works without overthinking it. I love Quince because, well, first of all, they're using incredible premium materials. And by cutting out the middleman, you're paying 50 to 80% less than similar brands at a price point that just feels right. All without sacrificing quality. The most versatile item I own, and the most used item in my wardrobe, is, as you know, my Quince bike shorts. I wore them with a cropped t-shirt when I was on my recent Dollywood trip. I also wore them with an oversized black sweater and felt very classy to have this, like, black on black, like, chic, off-duty look. They truly took me from tourist attractions to Bucky's to the airport, but I also dress them up with, like, a little cutie tunic on top when I'm on a beach vacation, or under a shorter dress to make a dress work with flats if that's all you got in your suitcase. I truly believe every piece at Quince can be that item that makes your whole wardrobe make sense. And wearing whatever I love at the moment just always seems to include something from Quince. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use by heading to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. Now, we are talking about something that is very near and dear to both Scott Gustin and my heart, which is when the opening of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind was leaked by the communications head of Disney, Jeff Murrell. Now, if this image is not burned in your brain, it must be nice because this is how the both of us live. This is a massive moment for both of us. But before we discuss how major of a faux pas this is, I need to just read this aloud for you, Scott. This is the stellar read that Chris Gardner at The Hollywood Reporter said in his subhead of this news story, because this was national news, and he absolutely eviscerated him. He said, Jeff Murrell, a former press secretary for the Pentagon, knows his way around confidential briefings, but mistakenly tweeted the launch date for an anticipated Epcot Center attraction. Tell me everything, Scott. Tell me what this moment means to you.
It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. So first off, and this is something that Carly learned today, my job, image profile that I have internally at my company is a picture of me recreating the photo that he shared on Twitter when he spoiled the opening day of Guardians. That's how funny this whole thing is to me. The short story on when this happened was he tweeted it and people picked up on it, and I sent it to someone at Disney who works in a part of the company that tries to not leak opening dates. And the reaction was complete disbelief, but also that person may have been the one to go inform said Jeff that he needed to delete it. And that was when it went poof and disappeared. It's just that moment at Disney when you had so many people. This was Chapek, under Bob Chapek, and there were a lot of people working on that team in parks that didn't have a lot of experience in parks, high up in the company. It just felt so dang good. It just felt so good to see that complete idiot come full circle, not only where he'd worked, like he'd worked some other places too. He worked for BP and helped with the like BP oil spill cover up. he can't even handle, like, you know, we're going to let you write it, but let's just keep it on the down low. And then the goober has to post the dumbest selfie of all time too. Like, it's so stupid. It's so dumb. It's so blurry. It's just every part of it was just, this is just, I just ate it up. I loved every second of it. I bring it up maybe like every couple months to people just to make sure that they knew that happened. So, all right, please, your story on this.
So, like, to give everyone the outside perspective, like, or I guess the inside perspective, is that Disney really has a specific way they like to roll out information in terms of a new ride opening. And especially when it's a huge roller coaster like this. Like, this was gigantic news. They have a press plan in place to make sure that they are announcing things at a certain time, and it is very, it's very planned out, and it's very thought through. And the absolute tippy-top communications person at the company just exploded it on Twitter in a tweet that, do not forget, Scott, he tagged a parody fan account in.
Gut Center. Golly.
Epcot Center. God. And you know what else I learned? When I was just like looking back on the actual tweet, he misspelled one of the words. He misspelled designed. So he had a typo top, listen, like, this dude's making so much money to be the head of communications, had a typo, tagged the wrong account, and released the date all in one tweet. It really, it's iconic.
And he pulled all this off in his 3-month stint at the company. He was here for 3 months. Like, I have a headache. This lasted longer than his stint at the company. I think there was like a story that came out at the time. He was however long he was there and how long he had made. It was like over $100,000 a day was what he ended up making. Yes. And
a day. Oh, because they have to pay him out if they let him go.
Because they had to pay him out because they let him go. Whatever, like, he had signed. And the only fact that $8 million or something, I think is what. And then he'd only worked for 3 months. So it had worked out to like $125,000 a day is what he actually ended up getting paid.
See, I thought
and in that time, he had managed the Chapek disaster in Florida, which is not something that's on the fun list today. But he was part of that. And then had to do this. It's just kind of like, you know, like, was this on purpose? Like, who are you? Like, where did you come from? Go back to BP and get off of our coasters. Stop spoiling things. But the kind of strange part of it, all of it, is that we, even though we knew that that probably would be the opening day, we actually didn't have it 100% confirmed that is when it was going to open for a couple months after that, because it was just as easy that this dum-dum got it wrong as he did get it right. You know, like, we were 99% sure that it probably would end up being that Memorial Day, but we still didn't have it 100% for a solid month or two after. That's how far ahead he was with his breaking news that he just needed to share with the world.
It's really funny to view it through the lens of, this man tried to do our job for one day and failed.
Yes.
Like, he had to.
Or his job. Yeah. His job.
He couldn't do his job or our job. Like, he couldn't go on a ride and shut up about the things you're not allowed to say. Like, that's the job.
And he couldn't do his job, and he tried to scoop the scoopers and, I mean, took the worst photo. It's truly next level. And gosh, I love it so much.
Oh man, wow. That was a great day to be on the internet. There are a few days out there where it's like a beautiful day to be online, and that was a clear the schedule kind of day. It was too fun.
Yep. And my last story on this, from the actual opening of Cosmic, the photo that is my my profile photo at my company, which is still this recreation of his photo, I tweeted from the opening a word for word version of his tweet when I got to write it for the first time announcing it. And another person fairly high up in the communications part of Disney saw me at the opening, had seen my tweet mocking Jeff. This was when it was still raw, and just said, I can't tell you what I'm talking about, but just know that I saw that and I really liked it, but I can't tell you what I'm talking about. And I was like, I like that compliment. That's someone who's saying I really enjoyed it, even though I can't say exactly what it is I'm referring to, but
just another day at the office.
just another day.
I was going to do something else next, but do you want to tell me about your favorite t-shirt instead? This is one I'm not as familiar with, but it's the iconic.
Oh yeah.
Like, I've seen this all over the internet. I actually don't know the origin. What do you know about, or can you explain the t-shirt and then tell me what you know about it? You can't.
The best part is that you can't explain it because we have never been given the full context. So there is a picture of, a man at Epcot walking around World Showcase, and it's a black t-shirt. Unfortunately, we don't have a photo of the front, which could solve the mystery, but we don't have that. But on the back, it says Mexico, China, Germany, Japan, Morocco. Okay, so maybe those are the places you want to go around the showcase. But then there's a line, and then it says All of that makes sense. And then there's a line and it says, lightning, misspelled, lightning, Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy, which was open at the time and is no longer there, but was widely regarded as the most underwhelming at best. That's the nicest thing you probably could say. Underwhelming attraction at Walt Disney World. And it's like that was his bucket list on his first trip, was to hit up those five countries at World Showcase. And then I guess Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. And that's all we know. That's all we know. I just want to meet him and find out what the story is.
I mean, so what's curious to me is that if we infer that the line is him going, I'm calling it at Epcot, I'm taking the walking path over to go straight to Lightning McQueen. But he ends in Morocco. He doesn't even end at a World Showcase Pavilion that's by an exit. So this infers that he's going to Morocco and he's like, and I'm out. And just
I got to race over.
Yeah.
I got to race over to Lightning.
I got to go see that car.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't know. And it pops up anytime. I mean, it was the best part of that attraction closing is because this was kind of brought back to the front of my brain. And I wish we knew. I wish that at some point someone had like completed this story and said, that's my uncle, you know, like that's a list of all the things he had not done. And that's what he wanted to get done on this trip, or he's a local. And those are all the places that I don't know. Like I don't even know. I can't even come up with a good story, but I hope people get to see the photo of that shirt.
Oh yeah. We're going to put all the links in the show notes for anything visual we've discussed. And also call the Churros hotline, please. 747 Churros. If you know anything about the origin of the shirt.
If someone solves this, I will send you a really cool something that I've received over the years, like something rare. I will send it to you. Like, it'll be worth money if you can come up with the story behind this photo.
Guys, this keeps him up at night. Okay. He's going to send you a present. We got to help him.
Please help me. Help me sleep, please.
Oh my gosh. I hope we can solve this for you. I will dedicate all my resources. Okay. We got two more. And one is, there's a slight non-update to it, but this is the absolutely bizarre paddlefish robbery. This one is still mind-blowing to me, but just to bring everyone up to speed, this was just last fall. This was very recently. A person allegedly in black clothing and swim goggles appears to have allegedly swam in Disney Springs to Paddlefish, which is a restaurant shaped like a boat. I guess it is a boat, a restaurant on a boat that doesn't move, and robbed the restaurant before successfully escaping with, we think, up to $20,000 from the restaurant. There is a little bit of in here with the robber coming in and forcing employees to the ground. We don't love that. But I was looking around because I'm like, has there been any update? It's been a few months. And apparently there isn't, because the case is still open. According to Click Orlando, which is the local 6 News, the investigation still appears to be active and redacted information cannot yet be released. So it is still a mystery.
Yeah, and I know it's an official term for someone in scuba gear, but I do like these headlines call him a frogman. Like, that's just a
fun word.
Is that
what that is?
Yeah, yeah. But it's so rarely used that it's funny, because most people would look at that and just think like, oh, they're comparing him to a frog.
I thought frogman. Was a weird, like, Orlando local, like if we have a place called Frogtown in LA, so it was like Frogtown Man, like that would be like area resident. I don't know why I assumed that's what it was.
It's like, but it's someone who scubas and knows how to scuba. So, but I think it is kind of like it is still a bit of a slang term, but I still love that description of it. But this has been I feel like it's a tricky one because it all could be very, very real. But from the beginning, it's just felt a little fishy. Pardon another pun. But
you don't believe that there was a man who scuba'd to the restaurant and grabbed money and then scuba'd out? You don't believe?
I don't. But I also, I don't believe the idea that someone randomly was just like, that's of all the places, that's the one that I'm for, without having some kind of connection to either having previously worked there or some knowledge that would make it worth being a frogman versus just doing this somewhere that would have been a lot or much easier to access. But I think the fact that the investigation is still ongoing tells me that they probably also suspect it's a little fishy and are just waiting for like some catch, some new thing to drop that will allow them to pin it on probably who they think it is. Just my take.
Do you think this person actually swam at least one of the legs of the journey?
I think so, but I hope so for putting all that stuff on. But I don't know. I have a feeling that they probably did not both ways. I don't think they swam both ways.
Because how do you swim with cash? Like, just put in like a backpack and then just like, it seems heavy. $20,000. I'm not used to carrying $20,000. Seems heavy.
Yeah, I think that's a good theory. I think that's probably why. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was getting the visual of him and his flippers, like running.
Just
like, I have a vision of like Goofy, like swimsuit Goofy with his big flipper feet, just like, you know, splat, splat, splat on the concrete trying to run away. Yeah, something about this story has never fully made sense, but I know the record request. I think I saw this a similar update that they said that they're still not fulfilling it. I hope they stick on this story.
Yeah, I do appreciate that someone looped back. Yes. And in February, so pretty like only a couple weeks ago. Yeah, because I gotta know if this person scuba dove into Disney Springs. That's crazy. But it is interesting that they targeted this place. I would go to Rainforest Cafe. I feel like they'd have a ton of cash. It's dim in there. It's very poorly lit on purpose. Also, like if you do a crime in the middle of a, you know, a thunderstorm, no one's gonna notice.
Disappear into the woods. I mean, it's kind of made to disappear. You wore a camo. Probably should stop.
The only image I've seen is like right before. Again, this feels like a TV show. Right before they sprayed out the security cameras, and it's like goggles and full black kind of wetsuit.
Oh no, I was saying our heist at Rainforest Cafe that we were just talking. We were coming up with that I would be in camo.
And have to dress like it would have. We would have to look like a weathered rhino. Like we would have to look like the Arumpant in the Harry Potter ride at Epic Universe. Like we would just have to look like worn in and leathery flapped. They'd never know. Though the only thing I'd want to steal there is like a chocolate volcano or whatever. So
that is about all that we've eaten there in recent visits. It's good though. It's a fun time. We like the one at Animal Kingdom.
I'm there for the ambiance. For the ambiance.
100%.
Yeah. And speaking of food that I'm more into the ambiance than the actual flavor, the last thing, this is something I didn't get to experience. It happened while I started my journey covering theme parks, but I did not get to taste this firsthand, was the poop candy that was sold at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Are you familiar with this, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Have you had it?
I didn't know. I didn't get to taste it. Just got to see all the photos of that initial coverage.
Yeah. So to break this down for everyone, they at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which wasn't a genius idea, they sold four different types of candy that looked and appeared to be animal poop. There was elephant poop, giraffe poop, cotton top tamarind poop, and hippo poop. It was all like different kinds of chocolate fudge brownie with caramel. Some of them were rolled with oats. The elephant poop had yellow coconut flakes on top. I have not done a Google to check its accuracy. I just choose to believe that the confectioners really went for accuracy with it. And when I was looking back into this, I've only seen photos of it. I did not realize there is a Tim Tracker video about this.
Oh, I have not seen that.
Tim and I'm blanking on Tim's wife's name, but they went to Animal Kingdom. There's a video of them 10 years ago eating this poopy candy.
Why did they take it away?
That's where I'm at, Scott. I agree.
Yeah. Like, I don't think if it were brand new in 2026, I think the attention would have been viewed as a good thing, you know? Like, whereas then it was kind of like, oh no, like, I'm sure someone was like, now we're encouraging kids to eat poop or something. But it's just so, it's so funny. Like, it looks really good. And it accurate, I guess, is a better word I should use. Looks very accurate. But I think if they just didn't put poop in the name and it was just implied, you know, like, maybe they would have been able to get away with it. I don't know.
If it's legal signed off on it once, surely it's fine.
Right. Yep.
And I will say these are animals whose poop we do not have access to.
Yes, that is one way to say it.
So it's not like it's going to inspire someone to eat giraffe poop in the park.
Yeah.
I think this would have broken TikTok. This would have been such a fun, silly story. I think they would have gotten like 4 zillion impressions for it. I think it would have been fun. I think they can still reintroduce it and it would be great. I think it's genius. It's genius. It's so goofy, silly Animal Kingdom theme park. I think they got to bring stuff like this back. I really do. We don't need the popcorn with the Skittles in it. Like, this is what we need.
How long did it last? Do you remember when you were?
It was like, only. I feel like it was maybe a few weeks. No, I don't think it was very long at all.
Oh, it was not even more.
Wow. No, it wasn't that long. I'd say I looked up so many dates last night. They're all kind of melding together. I think the most it was 2 months. The least was probably 3 weeks.
What a shame.
I know.
So now you have to pick. If you could bring back Animal Kingdom poop or NBA experience, which one would you bring back? There is one correct answer here, so we're clear.
Why am I torn? It's like, on one hand, I would love to eat giraffe poop. On the other hand, Papa Shot. I think NBA experience. I just believe I'm going to go down on the ship as it sinks. Like, I just think there's just those two brands. I think they could work together. I just still think it could work.
I actually don't disagree. I think it could. I think it could work. I think it was just bad timing. I mean, it's the same answer for like Star Cruiser. All of that hitting at different times in our lives, like more grace could have been allowed for some things that we're not given grace during that time.
I agree. I'm still a little too close to Star Cruiser to consider it a goofy theme park happening. It was, I think, the Jenny Nicholson video series was one of the goofiest things that's ever happened. But Star Cruiser, I'm kind of like, oh, like I saw where they were going and like the way immersive experiences were going. Like, it made sense. But the world has been so tumultuous. And also, I mean, the viewing through the pole, if you had an obstructed view, like that's irrefutable. There's nothing I could do about that. Like, I'm not going to argue.
I think the only thing goofy about Star Cruiser, I agree, it's not goofy. I think it just got a raw deal at a raw time. But I think the only thing goofy with it was the outrage from people that never went, didn't experience it, but just seemed so invested in something that they had never actually done and were so convinced that all people that actually like something could never have actually liked it. I mean, that one of my personal rants is just how people get so consumed in other people's real life experiences and how they, I mean, as wrong as I think you probably are about NBA experience, I respect that.
Oh, I know I'm wrong. I know.
But,
yeah.
But like, who, like, it does, like, it doesn't bother me. Would someone would, it was just during Star Cruiser, it was like anyone who liked it, it was just kind of like this, what is wrong with you? Like, how could you? And that is the goofiest part of that whole ordeal, is how crazy passionate people were about something that they personally never experienced. I never did it, but I certainly have. No.
Oh, I thought you were there. I don't know why in my memory you're like at one of the tables sitting, hanging out.
No, never set foot on it. There was like an opportunity to like go on it for and check it out, not actually stay the night. Like during the opening weekend, they had like a come experience, you know, some of the things, and I just couldn't make it down then. But I never felt that I was the right person to even try to talk about it because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. But that didn't stop everyone else from talking about it for months on end. Yeah. Every little thing that would happen there. But I mean, we could probably talk for hours just on Star Cruiser. But more my point with it, there's a lot of things that happened during that time that didn't get a fair shake. And even though the poop came before, because it was what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it's time for a redo.
I do too.
Redo number two.
Here so you go. Would rather have poop than NBA experience is what you're saying.
I mean, it is a ridiculous question that I asked, first of all, because they're being on the same, like, one is like they could do it at a weekend. The other would be, you know, this massive undertaking. But if I forget all of that, I think I would still take the poop. Yeah.
I mean, I got to know. Scott, it was so wonderful to have you on. I'm going to quickly ask you some of our lightning lane questions. These are just like quick little, you know, it's a lightning lane. It's just quick questions. You know the lingo. Some of them are a little tricky off the top of your head, but we will do our best. What is the most secret space within Disney parks that you have been to?
Secret space?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I didn't get to go there until it was a public space, but the bar at Epcot now that used to be like a secret lounge up there. I've been there, but it's not a secret. But it used to be like a secret, I think, Siemens lounge or whatever.
Have you done like a Utilidor?
I did do it like a tour. Yeah, okay. A tour in the Utilidors of Magic Kingdom. Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay. Yeah. Have you been in the Cinderella Castle suite?
I have not.
They haven't brought people up in a really long time.
No, I think it's no, I have not done that.
I'm sure it's in the cards for you, though. You're quite tall. It might be tricky for you.
I did get it the last time before when they used to use the Wonders of Life at Epcot for festivals. The last year they did it, got to see the Body Wars area of that because they had like a. They put up these partitions and stuff in there when they were using it for a festival, and they were starting to take stuff down because it was like at the end of it. And so I didn't go back there, but I got a little peek back into the Body Wars area. And that was pretty cool.
Whoa. So
that's about as secret as that.
And there is one thing I'm trying to see if I can hive mind you. There's one thing we can't talk about that we both saw recently. The thing at the place.
Yes. Oh man. See, that one makes me sad. So
I know. Sorry, guys. You don't know we're talking about it. It's a big bummer. Anyway, what is your favorite Epcot pavilion?
Probably Mexico.
Yeah.
Good vibe. Plant. Yeah.
Good vibe. If you could travel back in time to a moment of your career or at any point of a day covering Disney, like where would you go and what would it be and why? Would it be a ride opening? Would it be a park opening? Like where would you time travel to?
I would maybe go back the lesser fun, like not at a theme park opening, but I would go back to the day that I came back because about an hour before it happened, I think I could have actually like been right on top of that. Having heard something about an hour before it was public.
You're such a newsman. You want to go back to report the news?
I mean, that would have been a really cool scoop to scoop that before even Disney announced it.
Wow. You were really good at your job because mine was like, I want to go to opening Epcot. I want to see the original gospel. Yeah. Like, I want to see all the characters.
So my fun one, though, would still be probably Cosmic Rewind because I get to write it with the Imagineers. Like, as they were, Tom Fitzgerald walked me through the attraction, and this was at the opening event. I got to go just with him, and he was like explaining the queue to me. And then I won't spoil it in case anyone still has done it, but there's a reveal moment in the queue for Cosmic Rewind that is really, really cool. And I'll never forget, like, he was just standing there, like just staring into my eyes because he just wanted to watch my reaction to it. And so I did know something was about to happen because he was just like, I had his hands like just right there and he was just like locked eyes on me as I'm watching the pre-show. That was a really cool like thing to do that with someone who worked on it for as long as he had. And that was his first time taking anyone on it that didn't work on it. Wow. So that was cool. And then also at that event, we also, or at that opening, there was a lot of time for repeat rides on that ride, which you don't get to do very often.
That was a good day. Do you remember what we did after?
I do. Saw a really bad movie.
I still, do you know that I still like once a month feel guilty about, we basically had access to Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind the whole day. And we knew that it was never going to happen again. I rode 17 times. I don't remember how many you rode, but it was time to go because Disney had gotten a theater for us to see Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And it was like, oh my God, we're going from this event to go see a movie with all of our friends and coworkers. This is amazing. And I remember you being like, why don't we just stay and ride the ride more? And I was like, but we got to see Doctor Strange. And then we went. I was like, Scott, you got to come see it. And then we went to see it. And it was lackluster, to say the least.
It wasn't great. but it was still the right decision. We had to go. We needed to see the movie.
It was fun.
That was a fun time. I mean, that's probably the one I would go back and do again. It was really cool. And then opening of Avatar, Pandora at Walt Disney World was really, really awesome. I get to, sneakily ride with the cast, of Avatar for that one. The really quick story on that one is, they tried to usher everyone to breakfast after the grand opening moment. And I was like, I'm here to ride. So I just went over. Asked the person, everyone else was being pushed to breakfast. And I was like, is it open? He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I went in, me and my photographer went in and we started taking pictures of the queue. And then up behind us comes the cast of Avatar. And sure enough, they had opened the ride, but it was supposed to only be for them. But then they kind of let us just join in. So amazing. It was pretty cool to ride that for the first time with the cast of Avatar.
Yeah, that is cool.
It was neat. Even though it was an accident. Oh, okay, wasn't supposed to be there.
But sometimes, I mean, all of these rules are only in place for like 2 days only. So sometimes random things can just work out.
Yep. We didn't break any rules, but we were not really supposed to be in that group. But it was cool.
That is sometimes what you got to do to get the job done. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Last question for you. Describe to me your perfect Disney World day.
I like Magic Kingdom. I know a lot of people, it's kind of a hassle for most, but I would say probably starting there with some People Mover, some chill attractions, pirates, and then ending it probably at Epcot. I like nighttime, even with the broken LEDs. I still love that park at night. Spaceship Earth. With the lights that came during the 50th anniversary is so cool.
Yeah.
So I would say evening there, just walking around, would be the cap of a perfect day.
Bliss. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited we can spend April Fools together.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back, Becky.
I just woke up from my 2 second nap. It's great.
Guys, I let her rest for a few moments and then I was like, we need to resurrect her. There's Disney discounts and we got to talk about it.
If you are a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a little perk for you. It does require 2-night minimum stay, which isn't a problem.
Which
in
is
Disney
very,
World,
it's
right?
Just very low.
Exactly. Valid most nights, June 21st to August 15th. Prices per night for room only, as low as All-Star Sports in a standard room, $99 a night.
These are prices that I remember, Becky, from when I booked my bachelorette party 11 years ago.
Years ago.
11 years ago.
Port Orleans Riverside is $169 in a standard room. Art of Animation in a Cars Family Suite, are you sitting down? $249. Mm-hmm. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, $369 a night plus.
Do you know how much money I've paid for that view? It is not
a lot more than that.
It is not under $400, I can tell you that.
No, these are restricted just to these resorts and just these views, and they are going to go quickly. So if it's something you really are interested in and you're a Disney Plus subscriber, give us a call, let us know. We'll be happy to see if we can find these for you. But we have not seen these rates this low in years and years and years. On top of that, they still have their Get a Free Dining Plan rolling. So if the room rate was enough to get you there, you can purchase a non-discount minimum four-night, four-day package that includes room and ticket with Park Hopper, and get that free dining plan if you book by April 30th. So that one's going to come up on us pretty quickly if they don't extend it. And it's for most stays June 28th to December 21st. So it goes for the rest of the year. There's some blockout dates in there, obviously, for the holidays, but it does cover a lot of space for you. And if that doesn't appeal to you, they do have the save up to 30% off rooms for late summer and early fall, 30% from July 30th to October 3rd, with the Florida residents saving up to 35% and pass holders saving up to 40%. But wait, there's more. You don't want to go to Disney World. Don't worry, we got you. Alani is there, and they've come up with a new date for their save up to 25% rate for five or more nights and 20% off four consecutive nights. And that's most nights August 9th to October 18th if you book by September 27th. Last but not least, because of course there's always something at Disneyland.
Always.
Our home park. Mm-hmm. Save up to 25% on select Disneyland Resort hotels, May 22nd to September 7th. Wow. And it is for the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. But that has to be completed by September 8th. So right now, if you want to experience Disney in many of its forms, there's an offer for you.
Incredible. And don't forget, guys, $50 kids tickets at Disneyland this summer. So you can, you literally use your savings on tickets for young children or children, any children, older children, all of them,
all the children
in your family. And oh, and mine just ran through the house. It's like she knew. It's like she knew that it was possible for us to go to Disneyland. Thank you so much, Becky. These are amazing. And I'm so glad to be able to share them.
Well, thank you for having me as usual. I love sharing these details. And of course, for those who want to look at the cruises and say you're listening to us right now and it's midnight, just go to bookmeicruise.com and you can pull up all the Disney cruises there as well.
Oh, you're the best.
See ya.
Hey, Carly, my name is Hannah. I called in a few years ago about bringing a big group to Disney and how to organize meals together and Genie Plus, rest in peace. Anyway, my rant today is, why can I not book my 2027 Disney trip a year in advance? I'm trying to go in January 2027. I've got two small kids, two under the age of two. I just want to book the trip. I want to start paying on it. And yes, I can just put money aside in my account, but I want to see my money going toward my trip. Why in 2026 can we still not book these trips in advance? Maybe there's a logical reason that I just haven't heard or come across, but I can book a cruise for 2 years out. Why can I not book my Disney World trip a year out? Why? Anyway, that is my little rant slash question to you today. Thank you so much for all that you do for the Disney community. I appreciate all of your content and keep being the best.
Hi, thank you for this call because, oh my gosh, that is so frustrating. I tend to book my trips truly like 8 weeks out. It's not good. I know it's not the way you're supposed to do stuff. It's just how I am. But I too am pretty surprised that even in, I mean, I'm recording this on March 24th, that you can't book a trip for under a year away. That's not that far away. So I reached out, of course, to my agent Blair and MEI Mouse Fan Travel to be like, what's the deal here? What's going on? And Blair gave me the DL. I mean, gave me the download. No, gave me the info. DL is like keeping something on the DL. This isn't a secret. I just goofed two phrases. He told me what we need to know to answer your question. There we go. Brain is functioning. So Blair told me that at this time, Disney has only released dates through the end of December 2026 for booking. They will open up 2027 in the coming months, typically late spring, early summer. So we are almost there. He did also tell me that if you are working with a travel advisor, they can assist you by letting you know when the dates are available and ensure you are getting the best value for your vacation. So I would recommend reaching out to a travel agent, obviously. I have my allegiances, but I would do that so that you don't have to feel as on top of it. And that way, the second you can book that trip, you can start booking and start planning. I think that would be just nice to like, you know, offset the mental load. Again, I don't mean to talk about travel agents like they're personal assistants that work for free, but they kind of are like personal assistants that work for free. Again, I booked a cruise over email, okay? Like, it's, I've never felt more like a billionaire CEO to be like, book it. Here's my card. Like, it's so fun to feel so fancy and be like, yeah, let me know when it's available to book. And then they'll like save you money. It's the best of both worlds. It is wonderful. I highly recommend. Thank you for calling. And I'm so excited for you to go on your trip. I love a little January post-holiday moment. And I hope you have the very best time. Thanks for calling. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening, and a very, very special thanks to Scott Gustin for coming on the podcast, because I still don't know if he has before. Has he? Honestly, can't remember, but either way, we were very happy to have him. You can keep in touch, which I'm sure all of you follow Scott, but if you don't, you can keep in touch with him on Twitter, and I'm supposed to call it X. I don't like calling it that. On Twitter and Threads at Scott Gustin, and on Blue Sky at ScottGustin.com. You can also subscribe to his newsletter, which is called Scott Gustin's Substack. I love an efficient man. This man called his Substack Scott Gustin's Substack. I would love to know what it is like to have a linear brain, because my brain simply cannot compute. We love Scott Gustin. His newsletter, you can find it at scottgustin.substack.com. That's a weird mouthful to say, but we got it out. And truly, I appreciate him because he's one of my favorite people in the world, and I'm so grateful that we could bring him into the fold on Very Amusing. If you liked this episode and you want to keep listening, rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. We're online all the time. Just listen to us anytime when you're bored, when you're doing chores, when you're driving. We're kid-friendly. Check it out. I think you'll like it. And if you have a question, a comment, a note, you want to tell me something, or if you know the origin of the Lightning McQueen t-shirt, please give us a call at 747-CHURROS. If this episode made you be like, wow, I really need to get back to Walt Disney World, which, by the way, is something that I have in my brain every single time I exercise. I haven't told Jeffrey this. This is a late shout-out for a Jeffrey shout-out on the podcast, but I lately in workout classes, I've been like, oh, I can't wait to get on a Disney cruise. I just can't wait to get on a Disney cruise. And Jeffrey and I are determined to go on one this year together. So it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And I've just been dreaming about it. Ooh, I've been dreaming about it. But yeah, my brain keeps going, ooh, a Disney cruise. Ooh, Walt Disney World. And if you are also like, it's getting warmer, I'd love to be in a themed environment while sweating. That is a terrible way to sell it, but that's kind of what it is. And if we're going to be sweating nationwide, we might as well be doing it in a fun place. Reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing is where you got to go for all your travel needs. Disney Cruise Line, Disney Parks, Universal, any of it, Royal Caribbean. They will do all of it. And Norwegian, I'm sure they do. They do all the cruises. I don't know anything about those, but I know a lot about the other stuff, and they do a fantastic job of it because they book all my travel. And you know, if you listen to any Gab Sesh or me talking for more than about 2.5 minutes, I have extremely high standards. And I adore them. I just saw Becky the other day and it was wonderful. And I love her so much. And I truly can't say enough great things about her. She's so great. And I'm so happy to be working with her and her wonderful team, because if they're in the Becky orbit, you know they're good. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet and join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. For 99 cents a month, you can subscribe to my Instagram. I think it's pretty fun. I let people know about this episode before it aired, if that's enticing. But really, it's just a nice place. It's basically close friends. It's basically the close friends function on Instagram. But there's like a larger number of... I have more people there than I have close friends in my life. So it's fun. It's a community. I love it. I love being part of it. I don't know why I made it... That made it sound like I don't have a lot of friends. I just don't have... I don't know how many we're at now, but it's well over 500 people, and I don't have 500 close friends. I think that's, why do I still feel like self-conscious about that? Like, oh God, I don't have that many friends that I don't, that'd be too many close friends. Not like a dean of a college, that'd be too many. Anyway, wow, 99 cents a month. My brain, again, not linear. Would love to have you. It's really fun there, and we'd love to see you there. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I have a little head cold, sorry. But I love the Gab Sesh, and I didn't hear anything. No bracelets, no jewelry clanging. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear anything. I am so excited about the new ship. 5 new ships. I can't even believe it. I'm so excited. I absolutely think there should be a Frozen-themed restaurant, and you're absolutely right. That might make me go to Japan and fly 18 hours for a Disney Japan cruise. It is all so exciting. The Bluey dance party, I saw your videos. They looked so adorable. Your pictures and videos were so fun to watch. I didn't realize the heat and the chaos that day, but it looked like a lot of fun. You're a great mom, and I knew you would be, and you're right. Ben is a wonderful dad. I have never seen a dad like Ben. Ben is so happy when he is with his little Pearl. It's a beautiful to see. I love that. I still feel that you meeting and walking, talking Olaf in real life is epic. That I would have died. I love him so much. That was so special. You know how you said your brain is different? I get you. That's me too. You surprised? Not at all. And I do love orange juice, and I can't stop. I won't stop. I love it. But honey is so good for you. If you take a tablespoon of honey, it has the same components as Robitussin. The doctor told me that. It is healthy. It is beneficial for your health, and it's a natural energy. It is high in sugar. It's like 67 calories. Big deal. And I met a 98-year-old woman at the club who had told me she takes a tablespoon of honey every day. So I've been doing it for years, and she's doing great. She swears by it. Oh, my God. Ask my work teacher at the gym. I have to be right in front, in the front row. Oh, my God, I'm dying. I can't believe you said that. That's so crazy. And, yes, Mom is right. The maple popcorn, freshly popped hot in Canada, is the greatest popcorn in the world. I must have walked around Epcot and went there 4 times in a day and brought some home. I love it. I love you, Carly, and I love you, Pearl. Bye.